All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the May 20th, 2021 VC HTTP API work item call. As a reminder to everyone, this is an IPR protected call. If you have not signed the W3C Credentials Community Group IPR agreement, you do that basically when you join the community group. Please do so. If you haven't done that, please refrain from contributing any kind of substantive technical content during the call. Joining's free. It's easy. There are instructions on the Credentials Community Group website. Please do that so that you can fully participate in these calls. We use a queue to queue everyone to speak, so everyone gets a chance to talk. If you want to put yourself on the queue, just type Q plus, and we will acknowledge people in the order that they put themselves on the queue. We will need a scribe today. Juan, I think you volunteered, maybe. Was that a yep? Okay, great, awesome. Thank you, Juan, very much for volunteering to scribe. Just, you know, as a community service announcement, scribing is important. It's the way that we communicate, you know, in written form to those that were not able to be here, and make it so that we can have a record that's easy to search, and for people that, you know, may have hearing difficulties. It's a good medium to communicate that way as well. It's good for accessibility. Let me put you down as the scribe, Juan, and then we'll go ahead and get started. All right. The agenda for today is to look at use cases, primarily. We're going to spend a lot of time on use cases today, just to make sure that we've got all the big ones that people care about down. There have been some diagrams that have been submitted over the course of the last week. So Adrian, you submitted a diagram that I think would be good to take a look at. Based on where some of the conversations went and some of the use cases, I took a shot at refining the architecture diagram as well. So we may want to spend quite a bit of time looking at those pictures and seeing if they gel with people, or seeing where the problems are, and possibly addressing, you know, missing parts of the diagram. So let me stop there. That's what we're planning to do today. Are there any other suggestions or additions to the agenda? Does anybody else want to talk about anything specifically today? All right, not seeing any. Let's go ahead and jump in to the architecture diagrams. Adrian, would you like to go through your diagram at a high level? Do you want to kick us off, or do you want me to start?
Well, you can start. I mean, at a very high level, my diagram is about a simple statement, which is that when it comes to a relationship with an issuer, there are only three possibilities that I can think of. One of them is that the issuer gives me the credential itself. The other one is that the issuer gives me a capability to get the credential. And the third one is that the issuer accepts a signing key that can be used to sign an authorization to get a credential. And that's the whole story. The issuer, in my opinion, for human rights reasons, shouldn't have any say in which one of those three sort of form the narrow waist, if you would, of interoperability that we're talking about. And that's it. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks, Adrian. And I think it would be good for everyone to look at the diagram as well that you put together. I'm going to share my screen real quick, just so everyone's looking at the same thing. And I thought we might start here. I'll drop a link in, Heather, to all the diagrams as we go, along. But just for those that want a preview, here's the link to Adrian's diagram, link to his diagram. All right, so let's go ahead and start here. So this is the verifiable credentials data model. We have a really simplistic diagram that we have used for a long time now, 8+, almost going on 10 years, of the verifiable credentials ecosystem. And so we have this concept of an issuer, a holder, and a verifier, and a verifiable data registry. These are meant to be roles. So each green box is a role that an entity can play. An entity can play more than one of these roles through time or even at the same time. And so this is kind of where we are starting from. So I thought based on the discussion use cases that we've been having, I thought I'd try and expand out each one of these boxes and talk about the architecture diagram that we notionally have here at the top of the use cases document. So there's one here. I tried to add a little more detail to it and then map it to the language the communities, the language of the diagram the communities used to. So up at the top of the use cases document here on page 2 is this diagram, and right below it there are some suggested changes to add a couple of diagrams. Well, it was going to be 3 new diagrams here. There we go. So three new diagrams. So real quick, here's the link to the use cases document there. And each one of these things, each one of these, diagrams, basically expands upon each one of these boxes here, right? Expands about on it specific to the VC HTTP API. So there are other APIs. There are non HTTP APIs, like DIDCOM over, Bluetooth or whatever. That is not what this group is doing, and so there's no elaboration on that part of it. This is purely for HTTP API. Okay, so as an example, let's take a look at the issuer box. So if we were to zoom in on the issuer box, we might, and this is just a architecture diagram, it is not the architecture diagram, we might see an architecture like this. So we're looking at the left-hand side of the image. This is basically expanding on this left part of the image where the issuer and the holder and the verifiable data registry are. We're not looking at the verifier. So on the left part, we expand out and we may see something like this, right? So there's still a holder here. We don't go into any of the details of the holder. There's still a verifiable data registry. We don't go into any of those details of this diagram. But what we do go into detail on is this issuer that's here, right? So we expand the issuer box, and this may be a couple of things that, a couple of subcomponents that an issuer has. The reason we're breaking out the subcomponents is to show where the VC HTTP API might come in to play, right? Okay, so an issuer, will have, since this is an HTTP API, will probably have an externally facing website of some kind that other systems hit, like holders hit, right? Other things may hit it, but we definitely know that a holder is probably going to hit that external website. And they may, request credentials and receive credentials from that. So this is either, through presentations, or they may engage in some kind of credential flow where they say, I want this type of credential. I want you to issue this to me. And then at the end, the issuer, issues that to, the holder. Now that front end website, may not have all of the logic built into it that it needs to issue the credential. So, it will probably utilize some kind of application specific service here in the back end. So this is the front end website, either human facing or machine facing. But the application logic behind the scenes will execute certain like business logic. So for example, if you are need to issue a bill of lading or a USCIS permanent resident card or you know, a vaccination certificate, that logic, what you need from the entity and processing that you may need to do is in the application service, right? So this is your business logic that needs to execute to determine whether or not you're going to issue the credential. And if you're going to issue a credential, what goes in that credential? And then behind this system, so this is not a standardized thing, right? So the interface between the issuer website and the application service is not a standardized thing that's internal to the application. That has nothing to do with, you know, what we're doing here. We're just saying we think there are these two separable components in an issuer. Okay, but where did the where does the standard stuff come in, right? This application service will need to issue a verifiable credential at some point, and the application service will need to verify a presentation or verify a credential at some point. These are the standardized interfaces. These services back here are expected to use the VC-HTTP API. The other box that's in here is that is this database, right? So every issuer is probably going to have some kind of subject-specific information that the application service may need to fetch or may need to check against, and that's what this database is about. So this database has nothing to do with the HTTP API, but we expect that there are backing databases here that the application service needs to hit to get information, to build presentations and verifiable credentials and things of that nature, right? Okay. So that is kind of the general infrastructure, or it's a proposed kind of general architecture. These are the things that we've been calling internal HTTP APIs. They're not external facing. Nobody from the internet can hit these services. They're internal to the issuer. They're behind a firewall. So let me stop there and see if this model resonates with people, or if you're looking at this and going, wait a second, where is this box, or how do you do X? Go ahead, Adrian, you're on the queue.
So if I understand this, then the VC-HTTP API has no relationship to the holder, no visibility to the holder itself. It could be the holder, it could be the verifier, it could be an authorization server. It doesn't really, it has no idea.
For the, it's so almost, so for the internal APIs, yes, absolutely, that is correct, right? The complexity comes in when we start talking about external, HTTP APIs, right? So for these two things, what you said holds. For this thing over here, the issuer website that may do presentations, there is a very strong suggestion. I almost certainly we're going to do this. There is going to be, like a presentation API that's exposed here. So the holder would use the presentation part of the VC-HTTP API or the external part of the VC-HTTP API to do that interaction. Did that make sense?
Sorry, I'm not. I lost my screen share. Again, I'm just approaching this from a human rights perspective. What happens internally is of no real consequence to the subject in this asymmetric relationship. So I don't know how we're going to, you know, I understand the use case and its value, but it seems somewhat vague at this point as to how to evaluate the interaction between the subject and the issuer as a, you know, as the sovereign entity. So I don't know how, when and we're going to get to that, but yes, that's all I can say.
Got it. And that is in the next slide. So we'll look at, you know, the potential interaction for the holder, in a second here. I forgot to put this in here, issuer diagram. So there's a link to the issuer diagram in the chat channel if folks want to open it up and look themselves. Okay. Are there any other questions? So I think the feedback that we need from the community is, affirmative, yes, at this layer, there's still some stuff that's a bit fuzzy, but overall it kind of looks like it's the right shape. Or we need to hear like, no, this is totally wrong. It's all broken. And I've got a better idea. I'm still confused. I don't know what we're trying, you know, what you're showing here. Go ahead, Ori.
So I think Adrian might be ahead of me on the queue.
I think that was an old one that I forgot to ack.
Okay. I'd plus one to what Adrian was saying. There are authorization concerns for both internal and external scenarios. So you need authorization that lets you know that your app is talking to your backend, and you need authorization to know that your app is allowed to talk to your partner's app, right? One of those is an authorization system that's sort of about you securing your own software, whereas the other is an authorization system that's about allowing your software to securely talk to another person's software. So you need authorization for both of them, but it's a different kind of authorization when you're speaking across a trust boundary versus talking about in an application itself. It might rely on the same standards, but you just have to be careful conflating those things.
Yes. So plus one to that, Ori. Adrian has been, drumming that authorization drum, you know, for a while now. And so we should talk about authorization. So plus one to what you said, Ori, authorization on the internal issuer service and the internal verifier service may or may not be the same thing as the authorization on, you know, a presentation API on the issuer website. We have not talked about that in depth in this group yet, and we absolutely need to. I'm wondering if we could put a pin in that temporarily and say it is expected that in general there will be authorization. As a default, there really should be authorization on the vast majority of these endpoints. There may be a few exceptions. Allowing presentations to happen from anywhere. But by and large, if you're going to issue something, or you're going to, verify something, you want some kind of authorization protection, on that endpoint. So could we kind of as a group say, look, we know that it needs to be authorization on these endpoints. We will get to that, discussion, and put a pin in that, for right now. Or do folks absolutely want to have the authorization discussion right now? Preferences? Rory, go ahead and voice that, please.
So I'm fine skipping over authorization. I'm fairly familiar with it. I'm just making the case that, you know, it's required for secure operation for both sets of endpoints. You know, internal same trust zone endpoints, going to make sure somebody isn't impersonating your front end or doing other kinds of bad things like that. And cross trust domain scenarios where you want to make sure that someone isn't impersonating a partner, you know, vendor, or presenting on behalf of somebody in some other way. And there's a number of layers to those sort of considerations, but they are a different kind of authorization. They might rely on OAuth, but they're different. I don't think we need to spend any more time on it as long as everyone agrees that, like, without authorization around an HTTP service, you're building a giant foot gun.
Yeah, plus one. I'd suggest that's, you know, yes. I think that is, those are all good, solid statements. Does anyone object to what Ori said or disagree with what Ori said? If not, we can kind of move on. Adrian, I'm specifically interested in your thoughts here. I know that we have not defined anything specifically yet, but is what you're hearing, going in the right direction?
Well, yes. I mean, I tend to agree with what Ori said pretty much completely. But I think that the reason that the thing we need to talk about is what I would call the narrow waist in the SSI ecosystem, because the discussion we're having here will also impact the discussions we're going to have in the secure store confidential storage work group and in the presentation request work that's being done and in the authentication PSYOP type conversations. So it seems to me like this issue that Ori, I think, stated quite clearly is a cross-cutting issue. And the time has come, for the reasons that he said, to consider it in that light of what I'm calling the narrow waist. Is the narrow waist messaging or is it authorization? And it could be either, as we all know, but dealing with VC-HTTP as a special case, I think, is not a good use of time.
Okay. Heather, you're on the queue.
Yeah, thanks. I like what Ori's proposed. That makes sense. But I was also just kind of like scrolling through the use cases and I came upon Alan Karp's comments about resource management and the ZCAPs. And I guess I'm just wondering if this topic, which I'm very interested in, will get kind of fleshed out through the use cases. I would prefer not to go down the rabbit hole of having that huge discussion now, but I do believe we need to figure it out at some point so we can state that. And then I'm also curious if there are certain use cases in this document that might kind of bump up against this as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. My belief is it should get fleshed out as we go through the use cases, because a large chunk of the use cases are authorization use cases. They bring in the question, you know, what authorization is and exactly how it'll work. So, you know, going on a deep dive rabbit hole down the authorization, tunnel, may get us wrapped around the axle. I think we may need to make multiple passes over the ecosystem. Authorization will continue to come up time and time again, across various things. And my suggestion is that when it comes up, we point to it and go, we know that needs authorization. We are going to come back and talk about that. It is inevitable, I think, in the next couple of weeks that, you know, we will make multiple passes, over that. Ori, you're up next.
So I agree with what you're saying, Manu. I'm just somewhat afraid that it won't be successful, because I've been having these conversations in a number of different places and it just keeps coming back up. There are, you know, folks who want to talk about implementing new authorization strategies, and then there are APIs that need an authorization strategy or that might support multiple authorization strategies. And for me, this work item is not about innovating around authorization. It is about applying standards that are mature enough to be used for authorization to an HTTP API. So I, you know, probably somewhat controversial opinion, but I think ZCAPs and HTTP signatures are out of scope and not appropriate for this work item. I think GNAP is not appropriate for this work item. I think OAuth is appropriate to discuss for this work item because it's a standard that exists and that folks can rely on today for HTTP API authorization. So I take the perspective of, wow, we really could help ourselves with scope a lot if we would just cut all of those conversations around authorization standards drafts out of this work item, because then we could focus on what the work item is really about. And it's not about any of those drafts. It's about an HTTP API that relies on at least one way of doing authorization.
Great. Thank you for that, Ori. So how about we just raise that proposal in the next 2 weeks? I don't think it's that controversial. Well, I don't view it as controversial. I'm sure somebody else in the group might. But there's nothing wrong with focusing on something that works today, that we know works today, as long as we don't prevent those other solutions in the future, right? So there's nothing wrong with us saying, let's start off with OAuth because it's concrete and we can implement against it, and there are implementers that want to implement against it. But at the same time, we want to make absolutely sure that we do not prevent these other authorization mechanisms like GNAP and ZCAPs and, you know, that kind of ilk. That to me feels like a fairly balanced way to proceed. I note that, you know, Adrian, you're minus one-ing, you know, the using OAuth. So, you know, we will have a, you know, so all that to say, like, you know, hey, let's give the group a heads up, that we want to make a decision on that because we think that narrowing scope is going to help all of us, and enable people to, you know, make the arguments for and against, over the next couple of weeks. And then, to make sure that, you know, we try to lock something in, let's pick up the proposal in the next 2 weeks. Would anyone object to that strategy? Go ahead, Mike.
Not so much a hard objection, but, you know, weeks is loose, right? I do want to echo support for, I think, what Ori said as well as what you said, right? Which is to say, look, we already know OAuth is going to be in play in certain cases, at least that we're dealing with, right? And in fact, we already have VC HTTP API behind OAuth in many cases, right? So we know that's going to be there. And that also, however, if we do it right, we shouldn't limit things just to OAuth. There can be multiple authorization or authentication methods that we allow here. So.
Thanks, Mike. Go ahead, Adrian.
So I spent almost a decade, trying to profile OAuth and UMA in the service of self-sovereign identity and self-sovereign technology. And it does not work. That is why, you know, that is why IETF and all the people that have worked on OAuth for even longer than I have, and UMA, the editors of those specs have moved on. And they have expressed, you know, an intense desire to work with this community to make sure that we are aligned and that when the standards do move forward, they move forward together. I don't think the standards we're talking about for protocols in this community are any further ahead or behind what is going on in the GNAP community. But for us to ignore this problem in the name and then claim to be doing self-sovereign identity is for me just a non-starter. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Adrian. Mike, why don't you jump queue, and then I want to move us back into the diagrams so we can make progress through them.
Yeah, I'd appreciate moving forward there, but I just wanted to quickly state that, like, we, and I know others, are using OAuth in production today in front of, you know, issuing and verifying and things like that around, you know, verifiable credentials. So it is an actual real world production use case. It's not to say it's optimal. It's not to say there's better ways of doing it. It's just that is a standard we deal with in the enterprise world.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Yeah. And that's, I think, one of the things that's going to be hard to ignore is that there are already people that have implemented OAuth 2, you know, in front of these APIs. But to keep us moving, so this is why, you know, sometimes going down the authorization, rabbit hole, derails the conversation. We could talk about this for a long time. So it's understood that it's, you know, somewhat of a controversial topic. We are clearly saying these endpoints need authorization mechanisms in front of it. So I think that's good. That's progress. So let's keep moving, right? What I had asked for is, you know, are there any, objections to this kind of diagram, being in the use cases document? Let me ask it again. Would anyone object to, a diagram like this, or at least starting with a diagram like this in the use cases document? Okay, I'm looking for objections in the chat channel or verbal objections. I'm not hearing any. Okay. Then we'll go and move on. Just again, to make sure that, we're clear here. This is just a starting point. It's just to put something down that we can talk around. Hopefully it explains, you know, the general architecture a little bit. And we're gonna, you know, improve it over time. Okay. So this is the issuer. We zoomed in on the issuer. We said, look, this might be an architecture that people use, and we may be able to talk about the VCHTTP API. We believe the VCHTTP API exists on the issuer service, the verifier service, and maybe the issuer website, for doing, presentation. Or you're on the queue. Let's go ahead.
So this might be semantics and maybe not the intention here, but I see application service and issuer website, and then it says underneath issuer website interacts with holder over VCHTTP API. But I'm wondering if you mean the issuer website is an actual web application made of HTML and CSS and JavaScript, or whether you think of the issuer website as a web service which speaks HTTP protocols. I'm just wondering whether that distinction might need to be cleared up, or if it's confusing, or what your intention there is. Like, do you imagine that holders only communicate through web browsers with the issuer?
That's an excellent question. The intent here was that, because we're talking about the VCHTTP API, everything is viewed through that lens. So this thing is not an HTML chappy thing. This is kind of a bunch of REST APIs that are exposed to the outside world, that the issuer has, and a subset of those are the VCHTTP API. What language do you feel, would convey that better, Ori?
It's tough, because if we say issuer service right now, it's on both sides. Mm-hmm. So, I would say, you know, external issuer web service, or, you know, the longer you make the name, the less opportunity there are for confusions. I think explicitly saying that it isn't a HTML and JavaScript powered web application in parentheses is helpful here. Those kinds of things I think would help. The word website is probably the most dangerous part of the name, because a website typically doesn't refer to a web service.
Something like that, maybe. I don't know. Interacts with the holder. There's a bunch of external resources. It is specifically not HTML and JavaScript web pages. Okay, I'll just make that note, and would that be enough to move on?
Or... Yeah, that seems like much, much better.
Okay, all right. And then we'll work on the language there. Mike, you're on the queue.
I see Juan put me on the queue here, having a sense of humor. Yeah, I think any kind of like web service gateway or anything like that is typically how we're seeing that in production from a service to service standpoint, because sometimes that is an actual like HTML, you know, interact with the user. But as often as not for us, especially, it is system to system, right? It's one gateway at a VPN layer talking to another. So.
Okay, great. Would you ask for any changes to this, Mike, based on that, or do you feel like
an awesome starting place. So I'm really happy with this, actually.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. With that, let's move on. Let's take, if folks are okay, let's take the right side of the diagram, because the holder part is the one I'm least certain about here. And I'd like to do that last, cause that discussion may go into the next call. So let's take a look at the right side of the diagram, the verifier, and the verifiable data registry and the holder. It looks very similar, right, to the issuer, except you don't have an issuer service in here. So let me put verifier detail. And I apologize. This is an image because I did the Google Doc thing where I cloned a document and then modified the original document and ended up destroying all my work. So the only thing we have right now is a picture. I will go in and fix that later. Access denied. That's not good. Why is access denied? Let me change it to anyone with the link can comment. Okay, there you go. Hopefully that works for folks. Denied. Okay. So this is kind of, it's more or less the exact same thing as the issuer, except we've taken that back-end database out, which we may actually want to put back in, and we've taken the issuer service out. So the key thing here is that in the verifier, there's no issuer service. You know, there may be sites that have issuer services, but because we're calling this thing a verifier, there's no, you know, verifier, or sorry, there's no issuer service in here. So it's the same thing. We would need to make the update to this verifier website. It's really a gateway, HPA API gateway. It is an external thing. People, you know, presenting, credentials would be, you know, on that most external, internet facing thing. Then you have an application service again. This is, again, business logic for validation. So I am taking in a credential that says that this is an appropriate, you know, bill of lading, or, you know, permanent resident card or whatever. And I'm going to do other steps on top of it, or I'm taking in a set of credentials and I'm going to do some kind of business process validation to make sure everything looks right. And part of what I'm going to do, one of the things I'm going to do, is I'm going to call out to a VCHTTP API, verifier, you know, endpoint to do those verifications. Again, expectation here is that there's authorization on these endpoints. We will get around to talking about that. Let me stop there. Ori's on the queue. Go ahead, Ori.
So, yeah, I think we have the same kind of naming and details issues for this diagram, but I think your approach of splitting them up and looking at them like this is perfect. So I think that's really good. The comment that I wanted to ask, because I've seen it come up in the other approaches to exchanging credentials that are out there, is, does the verifier need keys? You know, is the verifier performing a cryptographic operation other than a verification? Like, for example, the challenge that might go along with the request for credentials, is that challenge some cryptographic material? Does the verifier have PKI requirements associated with it? This is an area where I think almost all of the solutions that I've seen have the verifier having some key material and using key material as some part of this process. But to date, I haven't seen most of the API endpoints that I have seen for the VCHTTP API that might apply to these flows tend to use challenges that are not cryptographically protected. So I just wondered whether we could talk about that aspect briefly because it has implications for how big the verifier is and the other burdens on folks who might be operating a verifier service.
Yes. So I think that's an excellent point, Ori. It is something that, would be needed here, right? So let's take like presentations as an example. So if the holder wants to start a certain presentation flow or wants to present something to, this service, this gateway, it's very important for it to generate a challenge. And it's also very important, like, for example, if someone's doing a DID auth, it's important for it to generate a challenge, and a potentially a target domain and that sort of thing. And that challenge needs to be kept somewhere. And more than likely, it's not going to be kept in the application service. Ideally, you want your verifier service to deal with generating challenges and storing challenges and, you know, verifying, you know, challenges. Like, you don't want it to verify a challenge. You don't want it to verify something where it didn't actually start the challenge procedure. It didn't generate the challenge. So yeah, I think that, that is an important point of discussion. It's important to note that. And I would expect that the spec should have a section in it to talk, about that, about challenge generation. And where to store it and when it's used. So plus one, I think that's an important part of the API. Does anyone agree or disagree with that about challenges being in scope for the verifier service, keeping track of those things? Adrian, you're on the queue.
Just to say that this is exactly what the NAP addresses. You know, how state is maintained, how the challenges are managed in the cryptographic sense. This is 100% of what's going on in the NAP. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Adrian. Okay, so with that said, does this diagram, is this a good starting point? Assuming that we make the same changes to it that we made to the issuer one, where we say, look, this is a API gateway. We don't know all the details here. Needs work. And, you know, authorization is definitely a part of, these endpoints. We still need to talk about that and get to it. Is this an okay, place to start? One thing that I do want to mention is, do we want to put a internal database here, somewhere? Like, do we want to say that the application service, even when verifying something, may want to cross-check with an internal database? Or do we want to leave that out of the diagram? You're on the queue, Ori.
I think, we will need to talk about retention and terms of service for this thing. Because obviously you're receiving sensitive information from a holder. You would have some terms of service that describes whether or not you'll retain it. And that would answer that question. So I think there's like legal obligations for operating such a service that you would be forced to document these things when you went to implement it. So I think we have to add the database there at the very least, to acknowledge the fact that I can't imagine a single scenario in production where there wouldn't be some retention of information associated with these exchanges. And then the reason I queued originally is this says request credentials and receive credentials. Is this a mistake? Are we really meaning to say request presentations and receive a presentation?
Yeah. So, we generalized in the VCHP, in the verifiable credentials data model, we specifically avoided saying presentations, I believe. We should revisit that. I think the reason that we said, we avoided saying presentation is because people at the time didn't understand really what a presentation was. They just understood what credentials were. And so when we said, oh, we're just sending credentials back and forth, they got that. But the second we said, oh, we're sending presentations back and forth, that confused everyone. So I think that's a good point of discussion. Do we want to say request and receive presentations here, or do we want to, stick with the original language? Let me make sure we do say send presentation here on the right side, don't we? Sorry, we went back and forth so many times with that. It was on this left-hand side. We didn't say, you know, issue presentation or send presentation because people got confused. I think that's open for, that's an open topic of debate, Ori. It really is a presentation that's going back and forth. It's not a set of credentials, right? So maybe we should update it. Okay. So Ori, you said you would, oh, go ahead, Adrian. Sorry. I didn't see you.
Oh, so yes, this is, are we standardizing the presentation request? In itself, or are we expecting that to be out of scope here?
So we will, you know, when we go to implement this API, we're going to need something. My suggestion is there are other groups working on presentation requests and responses. There's the VPR. You know, mechanism, there's the, you know, diff presentation exchange stuff. Ideally we stay agnostic, just like Chappie has, tried very hard to stay agnostic. But that may be difficult to do, or you're on the queue.
So yeah, I think we're talking about presentations, and then in the request for presentation, we're talking about standardizing the request for presentation, if we're addressing those two arrows moving back and forth. And I think we will have to be helpful to the community and not just perpetuate the 15 to 16 different possible solutions here. So I think defining a presentation request format, for defining the request and the exchange format is in scope for these APIs. And I would argue they will be borderline useless if that number of ways to do that is more than one.
I have one other question, or to put it, maybe should be raised as an issue. Are we going to deal with audit in the sense of the thing that we're talking about now, as to, you know, what kind of relationship does the verifier have with the subject or with the holder? Does the protocol include some capacity for third party audit?
I think, Adrian, that's a good issue to raise. I don't know the answer to that. I haven't really heard too many people talking about audit for the VCHTTP API. So I'd start by raising an issue, Adrian, and then we'll get around to, discussing that issue. It's a good question. Okay. So, let's see. So Ori, you said you would object to the diagram unless we dealt with the language issues here. You would prefer to see, change from credentials to presentations. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I can make that change. And then, you know, like we said, this is a starting point. There's no reason to. And then it'll just be presentations going back and forth, both between the verifier and the holder and the, well, anyway, I'll change this one and it raises questions on the other side. Would anyone object to starting with this diagram? All right. I'm not hearing objections. So, we'll update the diagrams with these changes or leave questions on the diagrams with unanswered questions, raise GitHub issues, and then we'll circle back around to this. Okay. And then, finally, here is the holder. This probably has the same problem that the other ones do. Let me make sure that anyone with the link in comment. So this is, I'll put it in the chat channel, holder diagram is here. So this is the holder diagram. This one is the least, kind of stable. We've never actually broken open this box and tried to propose what might be in there. I'm just note here that the assumption here is that there's going to be a VC HTTP API in here. So Adrian, this may speak some to your self-sovereign, you know, use cases. The idea here is you have some kind of digital wallet service or some kind of credential repository service that is under the control of the holder. And then you've got some kind of agent or client that can call into that service to do things like creating presentations and deriving proofs and potentially a whole bunch of other useful APIs that are outside of the scope of the VC HTTP API, but potentially within scope of the universal wallet spec or things of that nature, right? So this thing is only concerned about the VC HTTP API, endpoints, and then you know, digital wallet is very much in quotations here. Thoughts and questions, on this. Does this look like, you know, does this talk enough about, enough about, you know, the interface for VC HTTP API where we can create presentations and derive proofs, or do we need more things, in here?
So I'm on the queue acting myself, to answer you. I'm not sure that you meant to say what you said about the universal wallet stuff, but this, create presentation and derive proof. I want to sort of just back up to talk generally about why a holder might need an HTTP API. So if the holder is using authoritative keys that are access controlled, that are in a KMS, you know, or not in a browser, which is considered generally a best practice, then operations from those keys must be mediated through some API. And one of those operations that you would need would be a make a presentation API. Derive presentation, you know, technically you can do that on the client, safely if you're holding the credential that you're going to do that derivation, of. But, you might not want to do it on the client for various different reasons. And in those cases, you could ask an API to do the work for you. But in all of those cases, the reason you're asking an API to do the work is that you are somewhat untrusting of the client to manage secret, credential, secret key material associated with those operations. Which is sort of a little bit funny because you are authenticated to that, you know, that VC HTTP API that's going to do those holder operations. So you're obviously trusting the client to hold that authentication token, but not trusting it to hold the key material associated with those operations. So just worth noting that there's sort of like some question marks there in your mind around what operations should happen like in a wallet versus what operations should happen on a remote wallet helper service that has higher security or, you know, whatever. And then the other part of this is like, I think you did a great job here, Manu, of calling out create presentation and derive proof. But noting that there are arrows on either side of this between the wallet and issuers and verifiers that are about requesting credentials, receiving credentials, requesting a presentation, you know, receiving a presentation. And those are also, in a way, those are external holder APIs. So the difference between an external holder API and an internal holder API is you can see the internal holder APIs are inside of the holder box, whereas the external ones are connecting a holder to another trust zone like an issuer or a verifier.
Got it. Thanks, Ori. Adrian, you're next.
So I think I'm going to say similar things to what Ori just said, if I had understood what Ori was talking about. But my objection to this diagram is that you are combining storage with the resource server or the store of the credential with the authorization mechanism or the control mechanism related to how that credential is used or presented. And I think that is not a separation of concerns that's going to help with adoption and clarity in terms of privacy practices and everything in between. So if it were possible to have the internal boxes in this that sort of represent the holder separate out that which looks like a microservice, that looks like a key management storage, and that which looks like a encrypted data vault, for example, that would be really, really helpful. Thanks.
All right. I'm noting the things that both of you said, so speak to key management systems. You're right, Ori. I did not mean to imply those things. So we'll try to refine it so it's clearer. We need to speak to the separation of concerns here. Authorization being one of the separations, storage being another kind of thing here, right? So this kind of speaks to, like, we should probably have a database or EDV somewhere in the diagram here. Ori also mentioned we may want to speak to the key management stuff. And there's a question around, how are these external APIs, you know, exercised? So this one's, I mean, so clearly this diagram needs quite a bit of work. It's super helpful because I think we can easily make these kind of separations. That's all the time that we have today. Really appreciate everyone's time today. I will send the minutes out, and we will pick this conversation back up. So again, we're talking about use cases. We're talking about trying to get, you know, diagrams that make sense, so that we can have a shared language in how we talk about these things. So please add and refine use cases over the next week. And the same thing, if you can come up with a better diagram, please do. And we'll, talk about it next time. All right.
Hey, Manu.
Oh, sorry, Heather, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I just wanted you and I discuss. You guys were going to talk about some of the stuff in the main CCG call, so I just wanted to make sure that folks are prepared to do a more higher level overview discussion to the main CCG next Tuesday.
Yes, sorry. While we have Juan, anyone else that would like to help with that presentation next Tuesday, please email me. Let's get a slide deck together. This is just kind of a high level overview of where we've gotten to so far. And just to talk about, you know, some of the high level use cases that we have.
I'm not available a lot during East Coast business hours between now and Tuesday, but I'm happy to, so feel free to, invite me to the Google Slack doc or whatever.
Will do. Okay, I'll send an announcement out to the CCG about it. All right.
Tuesday in 4 days, not Tuesday in 11 days?
Correct, Tuesday in four days.
Yep. Cool.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, everyone, so much. Thank you, Juan, for scribing. Much appreciated. Have a great day. Ciao.
Thanks, Paul.